Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This week, Pardes is bringing Tu Bishvat to you. Let's dive in.
This is Rabbi Daniel Silverstein coming to you from Beit Zion near Jerusalem. And in this final episode of the series, we're going to go deep into the subject of eating mindfully, consciously, and spiritually through the lens of many classic Jewish sources. To place this in the context of everything else we've been discussing so far, we've seen that Shavuot is a very important opportunity to set our intention for Pesach, the full moon that comes 2 months after Tu Bishvat, which of course brings us liberation and exodus both inwardly and outwardly. We have seen that the Kabbalists started something called the Tu Bishvat Seder, which is clearly a mirror of the Pesach Seder, and that central to the Tu Bishvat Seder is eating different kinds of fruit, and that fits the faculty that Sefer Yetzirah, our oldest work of mysticism, says we should pay attention to in this month of Shavuot, that eating is a key way we can grow this month and increase our capacity to connect to the world around us. We've also seen that the tribe that this month is associated with, Asher, is associated with kingly delicacies, with beautiful food, and especially olive oil, which is connected in our tradition with wisdom. So not only food which is yummy, which is also a wonderful thing, but also food which actually brings us chokhmah, wisdom, which is also equated in our tradition, as we've seen, with Torah itself. And finally, we've also seen, mostly through the lens of the Bnei Yisachar, of Svi Elimelech of Dinov, our great Hasidic master and guide on this journey, that the constellation for our month, Aquarius, the Dali, the bucket, is serving the water, and the water relates to Torah. So we see multiple very evocative connections throughout the tradition between things that we consume physically to stay alive and things that we relate to spiritually that we also need for our life to be meaningful and for us to keep growing as people, and of course for our relationship with life and with the creator of life. So with that context in mind, let's learn some Torah about eating. One of my favorite sources is from the Talmud, Brachot, page 55a, where Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both say, as long as the temple stood, the altar atoned for Israel's transgressions. Now that it is destroyed, a person's table atones for their transgressions. So whatever used to happen at the temple that used to wipe away or cover up our mistakes and hence repair our relationship with the divine, the rabbis are telling us, quite incredibly I think, that actually happens now when we sit down to eat. And this makes me think, first of all, of the traditional role of the table at the center of family life. I think many of us have possibly lost at least partial touch with these days, especially in this era of corona, but I think even before, the nuclear family unit has been getting much weaker over the past few decades. But it wasn't so long ago that the table really was the center of the home. A family would gather around it, and that would be where people would relate to each other and would say what they had to say and hear what they had to hear. And of course, do teshuvah, just like in the temple, we would return, we would fix what needed to be fixed. And so we would fix relationships around the table with the eating and drinking that was happening there too. So the physical nourishment we were taking in was very much connected to the spiritual nourishment that we were taking in there too, and the relationships that were part of that. So the rabbis are pointing out that connection to us. And I would like to offer this source as an invitation, whether you're living on your own or may sometimes have the opportunity to eat or drink with other people, to reinvest our table, our place of consuming food and drink, with some kind of sanctity, with some kind of special atmosphere that is conducive, with some kind of special atmosphere that is conducive to growth, that is conducive to deep listening and noticing what is going on, both in our own bodies and for whoever else may be around. And so our table may truly be a place where, as the rabbis say, our mistakes can be fixed. We can truly grow as people. Now, in the previous episode, if you happen to listen to it, we discussed the Kabbalistic model of eating, that when we eat, the very sensations and the pleasure of the taste that we experience when we're eating is actually an opportunity for relationship with the divine. This is based on the Kabbalistic understanding that the whole world is full of divine sparks. And the Kabbalists say, amazingly, that the taste, the pleasant taste of food that we like to eat, is actually that divine vitality in it. And so when we do the act of experiencing and feeling how that actually feels in our body, we are actually interacting with life and with the creator of life. So far, so good for the Kabbalists. Now, the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, his mission was to make the teachings of the Kabbalah accessible to the masses of our people and to bring healing to them through that. And he taught something amazing. This is written down in the book Keter Shem Tov, a compilation of his teachings, section 194. He says, every act of eating and drinking that a person does is literally a portion of their sparks, which they need to repair. So he's taking that idea from the Kabbalists that there are these nitzotzot, these sparks of divine love and light and energy everywhere, and that our mission in the world is to find them and raise them up and unify them with their source, and that eating and drinking is a crucial way of doing that. But he's saying even more than that, that each person has a unique destiny, a unique list of the things that they need to fix. And this includes specific things that only we can fix through eating and drinking them in the right way. For me, this is really helpful to help me realize that every single time I eat and drink anything is an opportunity to do this work. And again, the esoteric intentions of raising up sparks to the divine source may or may not be easy for me to relate to in any given moment. But just the idea that this is life, this is energy, and that I also am, and that we all come from the same source, and that I'm unifying with that, that I'm part of something bigger than myself, and that my life depends on bringing in this energy from outside my body to continue my life, and simply letting myself feel how it actually is to experience bringing this new energy into my body. What does it taste like? What does it feel like in my mouth, in my throat, in my stomach? What is actually happening when this new energy, this new life force is coming to my body? Simply to let myself do that for a few moments can be completely transformative, can connect me to something much more real about life than whatever my mind was thinking about before. And if you happen to listen to episode 1 of the series, you may remember that the Bnei Yisachar, the great Hasidic master, puts these two things together, that eating is the faculty, the activity to work on during this month, and the spiritual work of a month also includes not letting our thoughts control us, but rather learning to first see and then control our thoughts, learning how to be the master of our thoughts rather than the servant of our thoughts. And this begins with just being aware, just noticing them, and gradually learning to control them and harness them more and more. So for me, these things very much go together. Learning to focus on my food and concentrate and experience and enjoy the taste of my food, and learning not to always be lost in thought about the past or the future or whatever else, but just to be able to experience that present moment. And talked a little bit in the previous episode about ways to do this. I would just say it can be so, so simple that just for the very first bite of any meal or snack we're having, just to slow down and try and give it our full attention, meaning not reading anything, not looking at anything else, not talking to anyone else, not to be on the phone, just to be giving it our full attention to the actual physical experience of eating or drinking whatever we're consuming, just for that first bite, that first mouthful, and see how that transforms the experience. Of course, if you had the opportunity to do it for the whole thing, that can be so much more powerful and transformative, but we don't always have the opportunity to do that. I'd like to share one final teaching with you, also from the Keter Shem Tov, from section 295. Baal Shem Tov says, while eating or drinking, when love arises, then take the pleasure which derives from this act of eating and drinking and elevate that pleasure to the blessed creator. So we're eating and drinking something and yummy, some kind of desire and like or love, some positive feeling arises in us. We love what we're consuming. Great. This is a technique the Baal Shem Tov talked about a lot of different ways. We should take that emotion we're experiencing. And actually he says this for every possible emotion, whatever it is, but love or desire, the example we're talking about right now, and we should direct it to the divine. What does that mean? So it actually doesn't even have to be only when I'm consuming something. It can also be when I'm trying to do some work or doing something else, and I'm looking forward to consuming something. I'm thinking, oh, that such and such piece of food or drink or whatever it is will be so yummy. That desire, the Baal Shem Tov says, is an invitation. It's a window, a doorway to feeling those kind of feelings of desire or love, connection, for whatever I choose to direct them to. In the case of the Baal Shem Tov and the Kabbalists, of course, top of their list by a long way is the creator of life. That may or may not be accessible to you right now, but maybe we could direct our emotions towards something that serves us. We could take a desire for unhealthy food and learn to train ourselves to direct it towards food which is healthier, or a desire for relationships which do not serve us and direct it towards the kind of relationships that do serve us, and so on. I hope you enjoyed this podcast and the series if you listened to all of it, and I wish you a meaningful Shabbat, a Shabbat of noticing our thoughts and beginning to become the master of our thoughts, and a Shabbat of noticing what we're eating and how we're eating it, and beginning to more deeply experience and let ourselves be present with that experience. And through both of these key pieces of spiritual work, the Bnei Yisachar and the other masters are telling us that we are preparing ourselves to have a meaningful Pesach, that two full moons after Tu B'Shvat, when we experience the exodus from Mitzrayim, from the narrow place, when we leave both our personal narrow place and the narrow place that our people and the entire world is in at that time, and spring fully flourishes, our liberation will be so much more complete if we're able to set a powerful intention to direct our thoughts to what we actually want, and to eat that matzah of freedom and really taste in it that it truly is both the bread of our suffering and the bread of our freedom. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.